So I am, now that we are recording, I'm going to go ahead and apologize to the people that are watching the first recording because I'm having to record it in lower quality just to make sure that it stays on long enough. At some point, the camera will cut off and I'll just turn it back on again, but whatever. So, welcome to the first Learning Linux with the MillSAPS Computer Club lesson. Thank y'all for signing up. Encourage your other six people showed up, so encourage your other 12 friends to come so that we can build a case for having computer science back at MillSAPS College. So anyway, so let's start out. What the fuck is Linux? You know, a lot of people ask me that whenever we were tabling the other day, and I'm like, you know, what's both the simplest way and the most
intelligent?
What's the simplest but the best way to explain that in the 10 seconds that I have their attention? And that was mostly that Linux is an operating system that can run on anything from a tiny little computer to the largest supercomputers in the world. And I guess just about any operating system could do that, other than Windows, because Windows is shit. But Linux is used across all areas of like business and computing. And the Android operating system is based off of Linux. It's Google's own version of Linux. Even Apple's iOS is not Linux, but it's BSD, which is closely related to Linux. It's a Unix system. So to start out with, what is Linux? What is Unix? So back in 1969, operating systems were awful. They were all completely text-based. I think in 69 there was not even yet a video terminal. You used a teletype. Which is basically a kind of a typewriter to enter all your commands in. So, it's 1969, operating systems are awful, and they don't lend themselves well to programming at all. So, Ken Thompson and Dennis Ritchie at Bell Labs, owned by AT&T, decided that they would come up with a new operating system called Unix. It's not an acronym. I don't remember why exactly they called it Unix, but, you know, whatever. We got it. So Ken Thompson and Dennis Ritchie created this beautiful love child that was made to kind of enhance the programming experience. Rather than being on something like a CDC 6500, a supercomputer that was built in 67-69, if you wanted to open a file, first you would log in, you would tell it if you wanted an old or a new file, or a library file, you would tell it you wanted a new file, you'd name the new file, so, and it could only be 7 characters long. So if we named it Linux, that wouldn't have made sense in 1969, but it makes sense now. And then we edit it, we add to the file, we write in what we want, we put in, and then it still might not come out right. It was a pain in the ass, and Unix was a really, really revolutionary operating system to have at the time. Now, and Unix kind of created this idea of piping between programs. So I could get the output of, say I want to write out a file, so cat, file by text. And I could create a pipeline, and I could run this through a spell checker. And that would end up outputting all the words that are wrong. Whatever. And it was a really, really cool idea, and it made manipulating files so much easier. Now, Linux was, not Linux, Unix was designed for internal use at Bell Laboratories. And I'm not calling it Bell Labs because laboratory sounds way cooler, but it was designed for internal use at Bell Labs. And within the next decade, though, they started to realize we've got a really, really good product on our hand. And so they started to license it out to places like businesses and universities that had these nice mini computers like the PDP-11. And it could run on the PDP-11. So they started to license these out externally. The problem with Unix was it was expensive. AT&T has never been a good company. They've always been mean and money grubbing. So they, and when, you'd have to pay, I think, you either paid once for Unix or you paid like a licensing fee or whatever. But main point was it was expensive. So later on, people started to make Unix-like operating systems, like BSD and Mix. And they were okay. BSD kind of had its own rules. Minix kind of had its own rules. Well, in 1991, this dude named Linus Torvalds decided, you know what, he wanted to have it, so he wanted to make his own Unix-like operating system. And being as his name was Linus, he called it Linux. And from there, it's history. You're done. Good job. Thank you for coming. No. So this is 1991. Well, Linux itself is not an operating system. It is a kernel. The kernel is like a layer of the operating system that basically grabs all your devices that you're using, everything else, manages those. Whereas the operating system itself manages the software, and it is all the software in the system. Well, the idea behind Linux that made it a little bit different from BSD and even the original Unix is that every program is that Linux had no programs of its own because Linux was this operating, it was this kernel. Instead, Linux took and all of the system programs were just external programs. You know, anything from writing out a file to listing a directory or listing what the directory is, everything was an external program. And the thing about Linux is that there was this operating system at the time called GNU, or GNU. I don't like saying GNU because I think it sounds stupid, but, you know. Anyway, but GNU was this operating system, and they decided to switch over to the Linux kernel. And with that, they brought all of their programs. So, now there's a term, GNU Linux. And I think this was around 1992, 1993. But now there's this term, GNU Linux, which just means that it's the Linux kernel with GNU tools. And from there, other people decided, you know what, I'm going to spin this off. I don't just need this, I need this, and I want to spin it off. So then more and more Linux distributions started to come out. The ones that are popular today are ones like Ubuntu, or Linux Mint, or Fedora, KDE, stuff like that. And so now there are thousands upon thousands of Linux distributions that are being used, all of them based off of this original GNU Linux that started in 1991, or I think that was 93 or 92. Now, the beauty in Linux, besides this, is that it's completely open source, or I guess that contributes to this. Linux itself is completely open source, and thousands of people around the globe are working to make Linux better every single day. So Linus Torvalds, of course, still owns and manages the Linux project, but there's an entire community surrounding this project. And people will essentially submit their ideas. This will go to like the project managers, and then that will go over ideas and plus the code for them. That will go to project managers, that will go to Linus, and from Linus, it goes to Linux. And Linux has been continually added onto since the 90s. Just wonderful. Now, so Linux now has been spun off into several things. Like, now, well, let's talk about the main two branches of Unix that are existing now, Linux and BSD. With Linux, everything is under the GPL version 2 and version 3 licenses, which essentially means your programs are open source, and there are non-open source programs on Linux, but for the most part, everything's published under this GPL license, which means that programs are open source, you have instructions on how to install and use them, and anybody can modify them and redistribute them in any way that they want, which makes it really easy to continue forking things. So Linux now has several, not only do the programs get forked into different programs, the operating system, you know, has different distributions, like I talked about, like Ubuntu, like Linux Mint, like Android. But on the other hand, you have something like BSD, where BSD is a little bit different from Linux with kind of the creative writing major, and I can't think of words. Whereas BSD kind of employs the idea that they don't want everything to be open source. They don't want to make it so that if you use their operating system, you have to publish all your code. So BSD is used on things like macOS 10, or it's just called macOS now, on iOS, on the Nintendo Switch's operating system. Where they don't have to publish their code, and everything that they have can be nice and closed source. And they both essentially are compatible with one another. They are what is called POSIX compatible, which I don't remember what POSIX stands for, but it means essentially their command lines are interchangeable, most of their programs can be built from one another, and they can live in this harmony. Now there are stupid people out there that like to bicker and fight over which one is better. I think it's a useless argument because both have uses in their own domain. Maybe if you're wanting to run a server or you want a product put out, BSD is better. But if you want just a desktop operating system and using that, maybe Linux would be better. But the great thing about Linux, since thousands of people are working on it, thousands of people are using it, more than thousands of people are using it, billions of people are using it, it has now expanded out into the world. Things like Android, most people carry a Unix system in their pocket, even with BSD, it's still a Unix system. It's used on giant servers all around the world. I'm pretty sure Google servers are mostly Linux. So you put a file into Google Drive into one of many cloud-based systems that just looks like a kernel of popcorn, but all of that gets managed on a Linux server. Now, Linux, of course, is like any other operating system. There are programs and packages that you can have a full-on desktop with, you know, several windows and you know, you can have Google Chrome, whatever. The Chromebooks use Linux. It's a flavor of Linux called Chromium OS. Or Chrome OS, I guess, if it's just by Google. But started as Chromium OS. However you want that. But what we are going to focus on in this class is the command line. A lot of people seem to have the idea that the command line is a deprecated form of computing that has no place in the modern day. However, the command line is actually where shit gets done. There are a lot of really powerful programs that are used that are solely managed through the command line. You could create a GUI interface if you wanted to, but they don't need it. And so, yeah. Now, we're going to get everybody on that's here on the Computer Club's Learning Linux, Linux Lessons system. So, how many of you are, the word aware is not what I'm looking for. How many of you know about a program called PuTTY? Cool. All right, so there's this, in Windows 10 versions, etc., there is, OpenSSH is now included. We're not going to use Windows 10's OpenSSH because to hell with it.
Great reason.
Because it's only available in, like, I think the past year and a half's version of Windows 10 and everything else. It's easier to get everybody using PuTTY. So there's this.
Isn't PuTTY like they're just the basic version of like all that stuff? It's much stripped down.
Well, it's an OpenSSH telnet and serial client for Windows. So we're going to get this downloaded. So search PuTTY online. I think it's putty.org. But just search it on Google and you'll find it. Side note, anybody caught using Internet Explorer in this class will be smited immediately.
I don't think they even have it on here.
They do.
It is at putty.org. There is a link at the top. Go ahead and put this down. And turn the jet
on.
Also, the camera, is it still recording? It is.
Administrator access?
No. So we're going to download, just turn off the front light. Don't turn off the back light. Okay. Other way. Yeah, there we go. Let's see. Is this computer not putting out to the projector? No, this one is, for some goodness forsaken reason. Alright, so it says you can download PuTTY here. Now what we want is, let's see. Not the installer, but the entire package. Okay, scroll down. It says alternative binary files. At the very bottom, there's 64-bit putty.zip. Download that. And then open it. And we will extract that. Move it on wherever you want. If you put it on your desktop, I believe you have to sign in to the same computer again. I would say move it either to your documents or to your M drive. So, from here, right click it and extract all.
Okay.
and then move this to your either your documents or your M drive. I would recommend your M drive. So go back to downloads, and then the whole folder is move it to your M drive. Stack it on SPC, or click that, and you'll see in there's called downloads. Just drag and drop the folder, not the zip file folder. Cool.
Ryder, you got it?
Cool. Everybody's got it. So now we will. Can I change the damn screen resolution? Let's see if I can or not. I think that's hard to see. I cannot change the screen resolution. Can I change it to a different? Yeah. All right, so now we're going to take an open putty. So under hostname, put in mpcclub.info. Change the port number to 422. And then, you know, if you want to, you can save it. So and then click open. Now, so I need to add y'all the thing. So let's change the font size to much, much larger.
Is this your personal server?
This is the Computer Club's server. It's our second server.
It won't let me do it.
Okay, hold on just one second.
Y'all have logins,
and I just realized that. So, we're going to go through and add each of you. Everybody, okay. Everybody has signed in and wrote their name. Is this right, Red?
Red Marine Pell.
Okay. You are added. By the way, the default password is MossPoint, all lowercase, no space. Because the joke is that we are the MossPoint Computer Club. Is this all right, Ryder?
Yeah.
Okay. Your password is MossPoint. Is this right, Owen?
Yeah.
Okay. And Myathith, I know yours.
Is my password also MossPoint?
Yep. All right.
No.
And Jessica, you are added, so. Is everybody getting signed?
Oh, okay.
that closes, you gotta reopen it.
Press save.
What does saving it do for us?
I mean, not much.
Oh no.
It's not letting me type the password.
No, it types it. It just doesn't show it.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't show you the password.
There you go. Okay. It's all this time. I think it was it.
Okay.
I don't regret it.
That is a security feature of Linux, or of most Unix systems, where it does not show the password when it's being typed.
They didn't know that asterisks were a thing?
Well, they weren't a thing at the time. And even now, that gives away how many characters your password is.
Fair, I guess.
Okay, so the first thing I want all of you to do is change your passwords. I'm going to add another account for me, and then realize the password is lost point. I'm a moron. All right.
Ooh, pretty.
So now take and we will change our passwords with the password command. So it's passwd. Type that in and press enter. So you will type in, then it'll prompt up current unit's password, which is mosspoint, and then whatever you want it to be, and you have to type it twice. Now, this server is running Ubuntu 18.10. So, if that means anything to anyone, good for you. And there are also quite a few things. There are a few things in it, like logout, which takes and takes and covers the text. There's also stuff like, let's see, what is it? SL. Which does that. And C matrix.
Ooh. I did that on DOS before.
And there are lots and lots of things. And as you will learn, this is much more intuitive than DOS. So, let's start out. I think, well, it was a good operating system at the time. It's just that Unix was far better. The Unix was also far more expensive. So we will start out kind of with just how to navigate the command line. So like any operating system.
If you do something like the Matrix or something, how do you exit that?
Yeah, Control C.
Okay.
Sorry, I should have explained that.
You're all hackers. All you need to look like a hacker is just type archery or a tree.
So the is this the way?
I got it for no reason.
Okay. I mean, it's only the light to this one, I think. So, same thing in Linux as any other operating system. Your files are, you have different files, and they are organized into directories. And we will talk more about the actual Linux file system later on, which is kind of where, you know, everything is, but for now, this basic concept is enough. It's the idea behind, I think Unix was actually one of the first operating systems to do this. The idea that it was like a filing cabinet. Inside of a filing cabinet, you have several folders, and in each of those folders, you have a document. We just call it a different thing here. Here, it's a directory, or, you know, in Windows, it's called a folder. And then in each of those, there is a file. Unix also had the idea that a file should not have any metadata saying exactly what file it is, or it shouldn't have anything locking that file to a particular type. Files were absolutely just binary data, which is whatever you put into them is whatever you will get out of them. That made programming a lot easier because on something like Mac OS, which didn't come along until later, but think about early Mac OS. Inside of a Mac OS file, well, you had all your data and everything else, but at the beginning, there was a thing saying, this is of file type, you know, etc. It's to be read by, etc. And that would kind of lock down your files to what programs you could open them with, how programs would have to read them, etc., etc., etc. And it was very frustrating. Other operating systems did something similar, although I think in 1969 this wasn't so much of a problem as it was in the 1980s. So to navigate around the Linux command line, or to navigate around all your files, so on MS-DOS and the command prompt, of course, there is the dir command, which lists a directory. On some editions of Linux, they implement this for no good reason. The proper command to list the files is list, or ls. So, and that will list all of your files. If you want to know what directory you're currently in, there's a command pwd, which is print working directory. And that will show you exactly what directory you're in. Each of you should probably be in home slash whatever your username is. If you're not, please don't delete anybody else's stuff. Now, if I want to change directories, so in each of your folders, there is a directory called public drop, which is a symbolic link to the directory user slash pub, which was created. So this is where everybody can put files in and share them should the need arise. So in order to change directories, it's really simple. You use the command cd, change directory, and then you can type in that directory, pop drop, to refer to the directory that you are currently in. You use a single dot, turn off the light. Of course, you know, you wouldn't, that's a slash, you wouldn't do that, but to refer to an upper level directory, you use two dots. And that way you go back up one directory. Now, this logic doesn't continue, so there's no three dots. But if you wanted to say go up two directories, so say I went into public drop, I'm now two directories away from home. If I wanted to go into home, I would, well, more easily do cd slash home, but I could do cd dot dot slash dot dot, and that would get me here. And, yeah. Now, each of you are in what is called a group. So everybody has their own groups. My groups, for example, are all of these. The groups for a new user would be their username, which is their own unique group, plus for this system, you're all a member of the member group. And that gives, that makes it easier for me to say, make a file editable, edit by everyone. Now, say you are somewhere, and I'll get back to that in a second, but say you're off somewhere deep in La La Land, looking at files, say you're way off somewhere, like etc. Apache 2 configurable, and you just want to go back to your home directory. You don't want to have to type in /home/ your username or whatever it is. That's not even universal across systems. What is universal across systems is a tilde or tilde. And that will get you directly back to your home directory. Yeah. We will take a 10-minute break and reconvene at 4:56.
How long are we in here till?
5:30.
Does the vending machine here take cards?
The drink machine does, the snack machine doesn't.
Okay.
Just keep in mind you can't bring food or drink back in here.
God damn it,
never mind. Drink it outside.
No, I drink smoke.